Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 15. Jesus is telling a story that has relevance for our lives. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My dear son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be another connect card, another way to communicate. If you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message, there's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so we can support you on the journey. So hopefully you can engage with me in that. But now I want to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We have a heart theme going on this summer. In our last series, we used the acronym HEART to explore five biblical principles that can radically transform the way we think, feel, and act. Our new series is called The Pulse of the Gospel, and we will be using the acronym PULSE to get at the heart of God's good news. And the P in PULSE stands for pay attention. And it's very, very important that we pay attention to our pulse. When we visit a doctor, one of the first things that they do is check our pulse. Many of you know I've been dealing with skin cancer for a while. Just a quick update. My doctor found two new spots that need to be surgically removed. So please keep me and my family in your prayers. But because of my history with skin cancer, I visit the dermatologist on a regular basis. And even though I'm going in for a skin check, every time, the very first thing they do is check my pulse. Because doctors know it's important to pay attention to your pulse. If something is going wrong with the flow of blood into or out of our heart, it can cause all kinds of other problems. So doctors pay attention to our pulse, making sure it's not beating out of rhythm or that the flow is not getting clogged somewhere along the way. And if they do detect a problem, man, doctors work fast to fix the flow so that we can lead full and healthy lives. With the gospel, it's a different flow that we're focusing on. In this case, it's vital that we pay attention to the flow of God's love into and out of our heart. Because unfortunately, sometimes our heart can beat out of rhythm with God's heart. Sometimes the flow of God's love gets clogged, either on the way in or on the way out. And when that happens, it causes all kinds of problems in our lives. Our connection with God might grow weak and lifeless. We might find it really hard, if not impossible, to love ourselves or to love others the way we know that we should. If you've experienced these symptoms in your life, you're not alone. And the gospel reading for today was written by a doctor. Luke was not only a mission partner with Paul, he was also a medically trained doctor. And this doctor knew it is vitally important to pay attention to the flow of God's love into and out of our heart. In Luke 15, he records a parable that Jesus told. Hearing this parable is almost like sitting in God's divine doctor office and having him check our pulse. And like a great physician, God helps us pay attention to the flow of his love into and out of our heart. And where problems are detected, God lovingly works to fix the flow so that our hearts can be filled to overflowing with his love. The parable Jesus told is about a father and his two sons. The father in the story represents God, our heavenly Father. The sons represent people like you and me. And while very different from each other, both sons have a similar problem. Neither of them is able to recognize or receive how much their father truly loves them. The flow gets clogged and it causes all kinds of problems. In each case, the father lovingly works to fix the flow. And depending on the condition of our heart, we might relate more to the younger son or the older son or, like me, both. We're going to start with the younger son because that's where Jesus starts. The younger son acted in ways that were very unloving. He asked his father for his share of the estate. Now, in that time period, much like in our time period, estates usually aren't divided up until the person dies. Now, on occasion, a father might decide to divide up his inheritance early, retire from managing the estate. But in that situation, the father would initiate that decision. The fact that the younger son was the one that started the conversation was a blatant act of defiance and disrespect towards his father. In a way, it was like he was saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead already so I could have your money and get on with my life." Ouch. Now, he communicated a similar message to the rest of his family by gathering up all his belongings and setting off for good. Now, before we quickly jump to conclusions about this younger son, let's check his pulse. Because I found that most unloving actions stem from a heart that feels unloved. And it seems that this younger son was not able to recognize or receive just how much his father truly loved him. The context reveals some clues about what might have been clogging the flow. It goes back to the estate. Now, in that time period, estates were not divided evenly among children. You might know that it was the firstborn who got a special blessing and a double share of the inheritance. So in this story, the younger son would have gotten one-third of the estate, while his older brother would have gotten two-thirds. Now keep in mind, he grew up in a culture and an environment that made him feel like he was less special, less valuable, maybe even less lovable than others. And I wonder if he projected that sentiment onto his father and assumed that maybe his father didn't think he was very special, valuable, or lovable. And little by little, the flow began to clog. Our flow can get clogged in the same way. Some of us have had experiences or grew up in environments that made us feel like we were not special, valuable, or lovable. Many of you know I grew up in Hawaii, beautiful place, but I was teased mercilessly as a child because I didn't look like my peers. It made me feel awful about myself. A few weeks ago, a girl who had been through foster care shared with us that one of her foster families told her that she was worthless. I recently met with a woman whose dad kind of abandoned her, wasn't there for her, left her to figure things out all by herself. At our healing service this past Wednesday, a woman came forward for prayer, and she shared for the first time that she's been the victim of domestic abuse for the past 40 years. Thankfully, we're helping her get out of that situation. But man, experiences and environments like this, they can really clog up our flow and make it extremely difficult for us to believe that anybody could love us, let alone God. And had the younger son paid attention, he might have noticed how much his father truly loved him. And for starters, the father granted his request. I mean, most dads in this situation, myself included, probably would have chewed the son out for that kind of behavior. But he doesn't do that. He grants his request, and for me, it's almost as if he's saying to his son, you matter to me more than this money. That you are my son, and you are valuable, you are special, you are lovable in my eyes. At this point, however, the son wasn't able to recognize and receive his father's love. And the results were tragic. He ends up walking away from his father's love and searching for love in all the wrong places. And that's what we do, isn't it? When we're not connected to the love of our Heavenly Father, we start searching for anything, everything that we think will validate us, that give us an identity, make us feel good about ourselves. We might try to fill the void with money, food, clothing, entertainment, pleasure, popularity, prestige, achievement, homes, cars, degrees, titles, work, alcohol, drugs. While these things offer momentary gratification, they cannot fill the void that God's love was meant to fill. And eventually, they will all leave us feeling disappointed, empty, and searching for something more. And if we keep following this path, it is guaranteed to take us in a dangerous direction. The younger son hit rock bottom. He squandered his wealth in wild living and found himself with no money, no support system. To get by, he took a job feeding pigs. Now, for us, this doesn't translate, but in a Jewish culture, pigs were considered unclean. They could not be eaten. They were not used for religious sacrifices. They were so taboo that Jewish people would not get near them, would not even touch them. So for a Jewish man to feed pigs, it was like stooping as low as you could go. And then for him to think about eating the food that the pigs ate, I mean, it's just like you cannot sink lower than that. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes hitting bottom in order for us to look up. And maybe this message today is a warning for somebody listening. Maybe you are heading down a slippery slope, and God is warning you, come back to me before you hit bottom and cause untold pain to yourself and to others. The younger son finally came to his senses. He realized he'd messed up. He realized he had it better with his dad. So he decided to go home. And while the pathways in his head were starting to clear, the pathway in his heart was still clogged. The son could not imagine that his father would love him or welcome him back as a son. He just didn't think he was worthy. He hoped, small chance, that maybe his dad would take him back as a slave. In his book, The Way of Jesus, Frank Rogers Jr. tells the story of a college student who boarded a bus. The college student noticed that the man sitting next to him seemed agitated. He asked him what was going on, and the man just shared his story with him. 20 years earlier, that man had killed someone while driving under the influence. And back then, he wrote a letter to his parents saying, "I'm good for nothing. I'm sorry, I'm worthless, I'm going to prison," and he didn't even tell him where he was going. Well, fast forward, the man had recently been paroled, and he wrote another letter to his parents, and he said, "I know I brought you nothing but shame. If you don't want anything to do with me, I get it, but I'd really like to come home." And he wrote, "If you'll have me back, would you tie a yellow ribbon on the oak tree in our front yard?" The bus was nearing his home, and the man couldn't bear to look, so he asked the college student to look for him. As they approached the house, the student shook the man, and he said, "You got to see this." And as he looked up, there was not one yellow ribbon, but hundreds of them. From every branch of that oak tree was an explosion of yellow that said, "Our son is coming home, and we cannot wait to embrace him." The younger son in our story received an extravagant welcome home. And his father worked hard to fix the flow in his son's heart. Every aspect of his greeting was intended to help the son recognize and receive how much his father truly loved him. The father saw his son while he was still far away. He hadn't given up on his son. He was keeping an eye on him. The father ran to his son. This kind of behavior wasn't considered dignified for a person of wealth and prestige in that culture. The father didn't care. He was willing to humiliate himself to demonstrate how much he loved his son. The father embraced his son. Remember, he had been defiled by the pigs. He was probably smelly, dirty. But the father was willing to get messy, to lavish love on his son. The father kissed his son, a sign of forgiveness and acceptance. But this forgiveness, it wasn't permission to keep on sinning. It was permission to begin a new life as his beloved child. He put on him a long robe, which indicated special distinction. The ring signified authority. Sandals implied that the boy was his son, not a servant who walked barefoot. And the father killed a fattened calf, a costly sacrifice, to demonstrate how much his son was worth to him and the lengths he would go to bring his son back. I'm sure the symbolism is not lost on you. Like the father in the story, our Heavenly Father works hard to fix the flow in our heart. God saw us in our sin, and he came to us. God demonstrated how much we are worth to him, how far he would go by making the most costly sacrifice of all, by sending his son, Jesus, to die for us. Jesus was willing to get messy. He was willing to suffer and be humiliated on a cross so that he could pay the penalty for our wrongs and offer us the free gift of God's forgiveness and eternal life. And thanks to Jesus, when we come back to God, we are welcomed with open arms. And God's forgiveness is not permission to keep on sinning. It's permission to begin a new life as God's beloved child. God takes off the old filth and stain of our old life. And he wraps us in his worth, dignity, purpose, and value. Before we wrap up with the other son, let's pause and pay attention to our pulse. Would you take your fingers and just put them on your neck and feel your pulse? And as you do, reflect on these questions. In what ways can you relate to the younger son? Have you had experiences or been in environments that made you feel unloved? Have you ever felt unworthy of love because of the things that you have done? God, our Heavenly Father, is working right now to fix the flow in our hearts. God comes to us with open arms, ready to love, ready to forgive, ready to wrap us in his embrace, ready to give us a new life as his beloved children, a life of worth, dignity, purpose, and value. Well, there's another son to consider. While very different from the younger son, had the same problem. He wasn't able to recognize and receive how much his father truly loved him. The flow was clogged and it caused all kinds of problems in his life. And as we saw before, unloving actions stem from a heart that feels unloved. The brother became very angry when the younger son was welcomed back in such an extravagant fashion. He refused to show love to his brother, refused to go to the party. Now, this was also a blatant act of defiance and disrespect towards his father, who was the host of the party. But again, the father lovingly works to fix the flow in his son's heart. The father goes after the older son, just as he went after the younger son. And where most fathers, self included, would have chewed their son out for that kind of behavior, he doesn't do that. Instead, he caringly asks his son, "What's the matter?" And had the older son been paying attention, he might have noticed how much his father truly loved him. At that point, however, he wasn't able to recognize or receive his father's love. As we listen to his reply, we get some clues about what was clogging the flow. He said, "All these years, I have been slaving for you, and you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Slaving? It's pretty clear that this son didn't view the relationship with his father as a love relationship. He saw it more as a contractual relationship based on obligation and duty. He felt like his dad was holding out on him and that he had to earn his father's favor. Sometimes we can approach our relationship with God in the same way. Jesus told this story to a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees. These religious leaders had turned religion into a contractual relationship with God based on obligation and duty. They were focused on what people had to do in order to earn God's favor. Therefore, they had a hard time loving other people who didn't live up to their standards, including the tax collectors and sinners that were now coming to Jesus. And this approach clogs the flow of God's love in our heart. We will never be able to recognize and receive God's love if we're always trying to earn it. So the bad news is, we can never do enough to earn God's love. Never. We all sin and fall short of God's glorious standard. Were it not for Jesus, we would all be condemned to eternity of judgment and separation from God. But the good news, the gospel, is God loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to make a way for all people to come back into a loving relationship with him for eternity. And this gospel opens the pathway for God's love to flow into our heart. We don't have to earn God's love. Thanks to Jesus, we already have it. And just like the father in the story, God assures us, He is always with us. He is always willing to provide more than enough for all we need if we just would turn to him. And this transforms our relationship. We don't obey God's commands to earn God's love. We obey God's commands because we are loved. And we believe our loving Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. We don't serve God to earn God's love. We serve God because we are loved. And we believe our Heavenly Father has great plans for our lives. It changes everything about our relationship with God. And this gospel also opens up the pathways for God's love to flow out of our heart. Because when we begin to see how much God really loves us, not only does it change how we see ourselves, it changes how we see others. We begin to see all people, no matter who they are, what they've done, as somebody that God deeply loves. And God's powerful love busts through the clogs in our heart and flows out to other people, even those who are difficult to love. One time, Martin Luther King Jr., he was speaking at a church kind of like this, when a white man came down, lunged at him, knocked him backward, started hitting him. The church erupted. A mob grabbed the attacker, pulled him out. People started shouting, "Beat him! Kill him!" Out of the noise, Martin Luther King shouted, "Stop! Leave him alone." And he walked over to his assailant, put his arm around his shoulder, and then he looked out at the crowd and he said, "What do you want to do? You want to beat him? You want to kill him? That's not our movement." I loved it. His heart was so full of God's love that it flowed out to others, even to those who are difficult to love. What I appreciate is he didn't go along with this man's bad behavior, but he was able to fight for justice and point to a better way by sharing with others the same love that God had given to him. In Luke's gospel, we're encouraged to love all people, whether they are friend or foe, like us or different, rich or poor, neighbor or stranger, righteous or sinful. We all have people in our lives, in our world, that are difficult to love. But how we respond to them reveals a lot about what's in our heart. So let's stop one more time and pay attention to our pulse. Would you take your fingers once again, just put them on your neck, feel your pulse. And as you do, reflect on these questions. In what ways can you relate to the older son? Do you ever feel like God's holding out on you? Or like you have to earn God's love? Do you ever find it difficult to love others, especially those who are difficult to love? God, our Heavenly Father and great physician, is working right now to fix the flow in our hearts. God comes to us with open arms, offering us his undeserved love, assuring us of his constant presence and provision, and calling us to extend his love to all people, especially those who are not yet connected with God's love. In this moment, I invite you to let God's love fill your heart to overflowing. One final thought. We're not told how either of the sons responds. This is intentional, because the story is really about us. And we're the ones that choose how to respond. So having spent some time in God's divine doctor's office, have you detected any spiritual heart problems? Is there anything clogging the flow of God's love into your heart or out of your heart? How might God be calling you to receive his love today? How might he be calling you to share that love with others? Maybe there's somebody It's already in your mind that God's calling you to love. It might be a meaningful practice this week to begin every day putting our hands on our neck, feeling our pulse, and reflecting on these questions. And we can start right now. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I want you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. If there's something bubbling in your soul and you want to talk about it, let us know. You can check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then place it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. You can also use the camera on your phone to scan the picture at the top and fill it out right from your phone. I'm going to give you some time with God and then close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that you love us so very much. And we confess that sometimes our hearts beat out of rhythm with your heart. Sometimes the flow gets clogged coming in and going out. So we ask that you, through the power of your Spirit, would break through whatever is clogging the way, that we might receive and share your extravagant love. And God, I pray that if there's anybody here today who's never before received your love into their life, that they would make today their day to come home to you and cause all of heaven to break forth in celebration. And God, we ask that you would help us pay attention to our pulse. Help us to see where there are problems in our heart. Help us to pay attention and deal with the things that are clogging us up so that we might better receive your love and share it with those who so desperately need it. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.